Ephesians 4:16. And it reads, "From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love."
Good that you all are here this morning to worship God. It is good for us to be here in His presence. Every time I get here and I begin to preach, there's always this one thought that comes to mind every single time. When I was in college, taking Dr. Lemoyne Lewis's class, every Monday we were to give a sermon. It was five of us in his class. And David Wingfield, one of my best friends at the time, he gave a lesson. He stepped forward to the mic. He had a Bible in his hand, and he said, "You choose." He held up the Bible, heaven. Then he opened the Bible, and a flame came out of the Bible. And he said, "Or hell." And he closed the Bible, and he sat down. He went first. And the rest of us were like, we had no props. We thought, man, that was pretty cool. Every Tuesday, we got graded on the sermon. And David, since he was first, he got graded first. And Dr. Lemoyne Lewis had a projector in the background, and he would say, "David, you're first." Name came up, and he said, had an A under it. And we were all like, oh, he got an A. But as the screen began to fade back, the A or line dropped down, and at the bottom was an F. He said, "David, A for effort, content F." He was all about content. So as we talk today, I'm going to give you a lot of content, and hopefully you'll be blessed by what we say this morning. We're going to learn something from geese. You can learn a lot from animals. In creation, God made plants, animals, insects, birds, fish, and man to reproduce after their kind because the seed is in itself. A cow will only produce what? A pine tree will only produce what? A ladybug will only produce what? A whale will only produce what? An ape will only produce what? And a human will only produce what? So you know that an ape cannot produce a what? And vice versa. You learn that in scripture. You learn that in Genesis chapter 1. The Bible tells us things, and through animals we can learn that evolution is wrong. It's not truth. It's a fallacy. Scripture often points to nature for illustration and wisdom. Solomon directed the sluggard to consider the ant in Proverbs 6, verses 6 through 11. Many of you all know the story that when I was about 9 years old, I was living with my grandmother in Valdosta. And I just got through watching The Bionic Man. You everybody know what The Bionic Man is? Yes. The $6 million man, Steve Austin. And I thought that I had bionic legs on me at that time. And I went out to the front yard. And my grandmother has a cornfield on the right and a cornfield on the left. And during a certain part of the season, the fire ants migrate from one cornfield to the other. As I got to the front porch, they were all migrating from one field to the other. My front yard was filled with fire ants. And I thought that I could jump from the porch to the street with my bionic legs. Just to kind of give you an idea where the distance is, the distance was from the porch was from about right here to about where Henry is sitting right there. And I thought that I could do it. And so I jumped and fell right in the middle of them. Got bit by 800 or stung by 800 ants and almost died. The ant you see there, does anyone know what that kind of ant that is? Probably not. In the animal kingdom, this is the king of the ants. You have this ant, then you have the bulldog ant, and then you have the fire ant. But this ant is called the Siafu. The Siafu ant. It's a very bad ant. Its colonies can be up to 50 million ants in one colony. They have both stingers and powerful mandibles. Snakes, turtles, and various insects and many small mammals commonly fall prey to the Siafu. They have been known to kill ant humans. If there's an ant hill to not fall on, here's one you should not fall on. African tribes have used the ants as sutures. They grab an individual ant and press its mandibles to a small gas in such a way that the ant's jaws clamp onto both sides of the wound and close it. The ant's body is then crushed off, and only the head remains, still holding the wound together. How would you like to be stung by one of those guys? Fire ants? Ah, small potatoes. Solomon says, consider the ant. This ant is one of the best workers in the kingdom. They work together amazingly. And I challenge you, go home, go to YouTube, pull it up. You'll be amazed to see how well they work together and just how powerful and ferocious these animals are, or these insects. Scripture speaks of a woman who rejects good sense. It's like a gold ring in a pig's snout. In Isaiah 40, verse 31, we read, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Does the hawk fly by your wisdom and spread its wings toward the south? Job 20, 39, verse 26. The red-tailed hawk, when soaring or flapping its wings, will travel about 40 miles an hour. But when it dives for its prey, it will exceed 120 miles an hour. Boy, would you want to be his food? Try and escape that. His vision is 8 times sharper than ours. Compared to the eagle, it's only 3 times sharper. Its wingspan is 56 inches. That's amazing. What lessons can we learn from geese? I submit to you, there's 5 that we can. Practice synergy, mutual edification, shared burden, encourage, lead, and care for one another. Geese have what's called the V formation. Each goose flaps its wings, it creates an uplift for the birds that follow. By flying in a V formation, the whole flock adds 71% greater flying range than if a bird flew solo. Reduce induction drag up to about 65%. Spread of flight fatigue equals to all birds. So you can see flying in that V formation is very beneficial for all the birds flying in that formation. They all benefit from that type of flying. By themselves, you're taking the entire burden on yourself. And thus you would tire out faster. The distance that you could go is less, because it's all on you. The burden is all on your shoulders if you're flying alone, going solo. The principle of synergy, 2 or more agents working together to produce a result not attainable by any of the agents independently. People who share a common direction, a sense of community, can get where they are going quicker and easier because they are traveling on the thrust of one another. Biblically, we need to flock together. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4 says, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. That word partakers is talking about partner, associate, a comrade, a companion. The idea is to cultivate a loving fellowship. We all share in the exceedingly great promises that God gives us. Together, us here at Avondale, we need to flock together. We need to stay in that Christian formation, that V formation, helping one another out. No one should fly solo. No one here should fly solo on their own. We are a family. We are a unit. God wants us unified. That's why it's a family, a Christian family. That V formation is what we want. Also in Romans chapter 8, verse 16 through 17, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that our children, that we are children of God, and if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. A fellow heir, the idea is a joint heir. One who obtains something assigned to himself with others. It's a joint participation. You and I are going to heaven together. We're supposed to support one another. Help each other get where we want to go. That is the whole point of the family unit. I had a friend. His name was Joseph, and he was an only child. And I speak as though I wasn't one for a while. I was an only child until my sister came along. But he was an only child, and he was used to doing things by himself. And whenever we would play basketball, it was very obvious that he played basketball by himself most of the time. You throw him the ball, and he would take that ball and dribble all over the court, all by himself. He was just juking and jiving everybody, and he would shoot. And every time we pass him the ball, we realize Joseph is a ball hog. We will no longer pass Joseph the ball. And so as we would play, he would do this. And we'd go. And one time after the game, Joseph said, "Man, I was open. Man, I was open. You didn't even throw it to me." I said, "Yes, and none of us ever will." He said, "Why?" "Because you're a ball hog. We are a team. One man doesn't function by himself on a team only. There's four other guys on this team with you." By the fifth game, the coach pulled Joseph into the office. Told Joseph, "We appreciate your skills. You've got a good shot. Sometimes you play good defense. Your ball handling skills are superb. But you're off the team." Joseph came back to the locker room. He was very upset. He thought we got him off the team. He was angry with us. And we said, "Joseph, that wasn't our call. Although we agree with him, it wasn't our call." We are a family. And we must stay together, a joint participation in everything that we do. We have mutual edification. When a goose falls out of formation, it suddenly feels the drag and resistance of flying along. It quickly moves back into formation to take advantage of the lifting power of the bird immediately in front of it. We have many Christians who, when they get here, they're flying with us. They're flying in the formation that they should be flying, and then sometimes they fall out of the formation and they immediately begin to feel the drag and the pull and how hard it is to keep going on their own. And a lot of times the drag is so much and the pull is so much, they just continue to drop, never get back up to with the rest of us. And sometimes we lose a geese or goose, if you will. Biblically, mutual edification, we must mutually build each other up. Hebrews 3, verses 12 through 14. "Beware, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become what? Partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end." The idea here is to share and comfort struggles and share struggles. You and I share and struggle in the same things. Your struggle is my struggle. My struggle, we share in it. There's nothing under the sun that's new in terms of sin and struggle. We've all gone through it all. And so we share it. We edify one another up. We build each other up. We don't come here and we encourage you never to tear anybody down. We encourage each other up. Because if you tear somebody down on this end, realize you'll be guilty of it at some point too in your life. And so we build each other up. We support one another. We become each other's framework so that nobody falls out of the V formation and feels that drag on their own. We stay together. Edification continued. Hebrews 10, verse 24 through 25. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as it is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. There it is again, exhorting one another, lifting each other up. It's a shared burden. When the lead goose tires, it rotates back into the formation and another goose flies to the point position. This is similar to pace lighting and bicycling. It pays to take turns during the hard task. People are interdependent on each other's skills, compatibilities, and unique arrangements of talents and resources. Sometimes, you gotta let somebody step up and take the lead. Shared burdens biblically. For whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effect of working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body of the edifying of itself in love by the proper working of each individual part. We do our part, we build each other up. When each person does his or her share. Brethren, if anyone is caught in any trespass, we who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Each one looking to yourselves so that you too will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and therefore fulfill the law of Christ. We're here for each other. If we're not here for ourselves, I guarantee you, the world won't take it. The world will not be for us. We're here for each other. Avoiding burnout. Too often brethren burn out because they won't help, because brethren won't help. Too often brethren burn out because they won't ask for a helping hand. Members look for ways to help. Leaders look for ways to plug members in. If you're new here and you haven't found your niche and you're still trying to find it, there's nothing wrong with going to your elders and asking them, is there some place where I can be of help? They will find something for you. There's nothing wrong with you going to the deacons and asking them, where can I fit in to help out with your work? Nothing wrong with that. Nor is it wrong for our elders and deacons to go to the members and say, we need you here. Here's an area where we need somebody. We want you to be that person. Will you do it? It takes a joint effort. Both of us seeing the other in a different perspective. We are all humans made in God's image. And thus we are about God's business. And so we find what we can do wherever we can do it. And we give it with all our might. We encourage the leaders. The geese flying in formation honk to encourage those up front to keep their speed. Did you know that? That they're honking to encourage that lead geese? Does that sound like encouragement to you? Honk, honk, honk. Does that sound like that's encouraging? But what it does sound like, it sounds like they're complaining that we're going the wrong direction. But it's not that. They're doing that to encourage those who are leading. Biblically honoring our leaders, 1 Timothy 5, verse 17, the elders who rule well are to be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who work at preaching and teaching. Our elders bear the burden of the entire congregation. Whereas you and I may bear the burden of one or two. And so our leaders need us to encourage them. Remember when Moses was leading the Israelites? Can you imagine if we were to estimate the number of people that were trying to cross the Red Sea and did cross the Red Sea? Let's say there was about 1 million of them. Can you imagine 1 million people complaining about food? Wouldn't that just wear down one man? Is there divine wisdom in there being multiple elders? Isn't there wisdom and design encouraging our leaders because they need encouragement? Because they bear the weight of the entire congregation. They watch for our souls. We comfort them with our encouragement while they share in our common burden. Care for the other. When a goose gets sick or wounded, and here's a big one, two geese drop out of formation and follow it down to help and protect it. They stay with it until it dies or is able to fly. Is that synergy? Is that partnership? Is that joint airing? When a geese falls out because they're sick, two other geese come out of formation. They won't let the geese go down by his or herself. And then when they hit the ground, they don't say, "All right, George, you're safe. See ya." And fly back up to the formation. "See ya, wouldn't want to be ya. You okay? Here, some dirt." They stay. Why? Because when the geese does get better, if he's left alone, he's got to bear the burden of getting back to him on his own. But if there's three, they can fly in a formation that's called V and catch the rest of them faster. It's called joint air, joint participation. They care for the whole flock. And when one falls out, they go get him. Reminds you of the story of the lost sheep or the lost coin. Lessons learned from animals. Biblically caring one for another. Ecclesiastes 4 verse 10, "For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up." When we see our members fall, whether it's in sickness physically or sickness spiritually, we go find them and we lift them up. That is our charge. As a family, that's what we have to do. Galatians 6 verses 1 through 2. "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritually, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Bear one another's burdens." Bearing another burden. It means to take up in order to carry or bear. To put oneself something to be carried. The idea of bearing the burden of another is literally lift up and assist carrying the burden to make it lighter. So you can imagine. I remember being over at Jamie Hickson's house, and he had called and wanted some brethren to come over and help move a piano. And Jamie doesn't live too far from where I live at, so you know, I dropped everything, went over there. I don't remember how many men were over there, but I looked at that piano and I said, "Man, we can move that thing easy." And at some point, we were trying to do something. If I remember correctly, I thought that I could move it. And I literally bent down and did this. And I said, "Ugh!" And it slipped. And right there, I tore my bicep. From this day, I have not forgiven Jamie for asking. No, I'm just kidding. But I went over there and I tried to do this thing on my own. And the idiot, I tore my muscle. And there were other guys there. Why didn't I just wait? I thought I could bear the burden. You know how ridiculous that sounds? Do you know how heavy a piano is? What was I thinking? Do you think I got compassion for my wife when I got home? Of course she had compassion for me. But in the back of her mind, she's thinking, "You idiot. Trying to pick up a piano?" The idea is to lift each other up. Part of the problem and the way in which we can solve that is to understand the difference between agape and phileo love. Agape love is because of what agape is love because of what it does, not because of how it feels. God so loved the world, he agaped, that he gave his only son, John 3:16. It did not feel good to God to do that, but it was what the loving thing to do. It was the loving thing to do. This is why God commands us to love our enemies, Matthew 5, verse 44. He is not commanding us to have a good feeling for our enemies, but to act in a loving way toward them. That's agape. Each one of us are to have agape love for each other. That's commanded by God. It's the same love that you find when it says, love thy neighbor as thyself. It's the same kind of love when he says, love thy father. And it's agape love. It's a love that will move in a loving way despite how you feel. Because you understand that that person is made in the image of God and they have a spirit given to them by God. And so you act in accordance to who they are and what they mean in life. And so you don't necessarily feel warm and fuzzy. But you have agape love. And that's God's love toward. It's agape. It will move. It will act. Despite how you might feel. In the good interest of the other person. Whereas phileo means to have a special interest in someone or something. Frequently with focus on close association. Have affection for. Like consider someone friend. 1 Samuel chapter 18 verse 1 and 2 is indicative of that. As soon as he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan, who was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would not let him return to his father's house. Then Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as his own soul. That's phileo. That's warm and fuzzy. That's a connection. It's a lot of feeling there. Let's be honest. A lot of us don't feel warm and fuzzy toward all of us, or some of us. We haven't developed that phileo love. And sometimes when we feel like we haven't developed a phileo love, we typically don't express love to someone. And that's because we think we have to have those loving feelings and fuzzy feelings before we act lovingly toward someone, when in reality, that's why God says you have to agape. That's how you can agape your enemies. He's not asking you to be love and fuzzy with your enemy. How could you? He's trying to harm you. Someone's got a rock and they throw it at you and thank you, I love you. Hit me again. We are a family. And knowing that we are a family, knowing that we share the same burdens, we are to lift each other up, encourage one another, find ways to make the other burdens less, to do our part, to share in it. And yes, my favorite word, you've heard it before, we all need to be participatory in the things here at Avondale. Understanding what agape and phileo is can help us do that. And understand that ultimately we're doing the work of God and we're glorifying Him in the things that we say and the things that we do. May God bless us to do those things on a day-to-day basis. Despite how we feel, we will not let our feelings keep us from doing the will of God. In terms of salvation, there's a question I want to ask you. The world says that all you have to do is believe, then you're saved, and then you get baptized. Acts 22 verse 16 says, "And now why do you wait? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. Acts 2 verse 38 says, "And then Peter said to them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. If the reason for baptism is to remove sin, then how is it possible for someone to believe and be saved still having sin on their heart and in their life? How can someone be saved and then get baptized? If you're already saved, what then will be the purpose of baptism? You wouldn't need it. You are saved. The world has taught that backwards, and it's shown it, and has taught the world backwards. And the world has taken it hook, line, and sinker. It is not possible for that to happen. That's why it says in Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. If there's somebody here today, this morning, that has been taught that all you had to do was to believe on Jesus Christ, accept him as your personal Savior, and he will save you, and then later on we will baptize you for an outward showing of inward grace, I submit to you with all honesty and with all love, they have taught you a false doctrine. You think and you believe that you are a saved individual when in reality you are not. You were taught a perceived truth because you perceived it to be true and you think that you are saved. This is being said out of love because if you continue down the path that you are in now, thinking and feeling that you are saved and you are not, when Jesus comes back, you will then know and realize at that point that your soul is lost. And while there is still time now, while you are still here and Jesus has not returned, please investigate the things you have been taught. Because if you were taught to believe only and then you are saved, you must question it. You will not find that in Scripture. I submit, ask yourself one other question. If we're all studying the same Bible and following and worshiping the same God of heaven, then why are there so many different churches teaching different things, claiming to be the one church? That is not unified. That's chaos, confusion. If that's where you are, please talk to one of us after the worship service is over with. Let us study with you. Let us help you understand Scripture perfectly. If there's somebody out there that is a member of the body of Christ, and you've been living your life contrary to the Word of God, you've been living in a way that's not pleasing to God, and you need to change your ways and come back to the flock. Come back to the V formation and fly with us so that the drag isn't so big on you. You need to repent of your sins, and you need to come back to the flock and flock with us together. If there's anybody in the audience that fits either those two categories, please come now as we stand and sing the invitation song.